Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily, your go-to podcast for West Michigan news, local politics, and community updates. I'm your host, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
Good morning, everyone. Before we jump into today's top stories, let's take a quick look at the weather. As you step out the door this morning here in Grand Rapids, it is sitting right at 40 degrees. But with a 9-mile-per-hour southwest wind, it actually feels closer to 35.
Definitely a chilly, brisk start to the day with those scattered clouds. But the good news is, we are looking at a nice warming trend as the day goes on. We should hit about 51 degrees by dinner time, and the high tomorrow will actually peak around 62 degrees by the mid-afternoon.
We do have a very slight chance of some light rain overnight tonight around 3 a.m., but it's only a 20% probability, so it really shouldn't disrupt your Monday morning commute. Just typical, highly variable May weather for West Michigan.
Exactly. You always need to keep a jacket handy this time of year. All right, we have a really packed show for you today. We're going to dive into the political fallout of gas prices suddenly nearing $5 a gallon and how that might flip the balance of power in Lansing.
We're also going to unpack a heated debate happening right now over downtown event parking rates, especially with the new Acrisure Amphitheater getting ready to open. Let's get right into it.
Our first major story today takes us into the intersection of global geopolitics and highly localized Michigan elections. If you've driven past a gas station in the last few days, you've probably felt the sticker shock. As of May 1st, Michigan gas prices have skyrocketed to an average of $4.88 per gallon.
And in some places, they are already hitting $4.99. To put that in perspective, just 1 week prior, the average was sitting around $3.88. That is a massive jump of over a dollar in a matter of days. And it's being driven entirely by global oil market instability following the closure of the Strait of Hormuz due to the ongoing war in Iran.
Right, the geopolitical situation is the root cause, but the political fallout is landing squarely here in Michigan. This price surge is looming heavily over a pivotal special election for State Senate District 35. That race features Democrat Chedrick Green going up against Republican Jason Tunney.
And the stakes for this specific race could not be higher. The Michigan State Senate currently operates on a razor-thin one-seat Democratic majority. If Jason Tunney wins this seat, the chamber is tied. That means every single partisan vote would require Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist to step in and cast a tie-breaking vote,
which completely changes the dynamic in Lansing. Governor Gretchen Whitmer is obviously aware of the political danger here. Back on April 2nd, she actually declared an energy emergency via Executive Order 2026-4. That order allows for the sale of higher vapor pressure gasoline in the state.
The administration's goal with that executive order was to lower prices by about 10 to 20 cents per gallon. But when you're looking at a sudden spike of over a dollar driven by international conflict, a 10 to 20 cent reduction feels like putting a Band-Aid on a massive wound. Voters are still paying nearly $5 a gallon.
And that brings up a really fascinating question about voter psychology. To what extent do voters hold local candidates, like Chedrick Green, accountable for global economic factors? The closure of the Strait of Hormuz is completely outside the control of the Michigan State Legislature, yet the party in power almost always takes the blame for economic pain at the pump. Historically, voters don't parse the nuances of international supply chains when they are paying $80 to fill up their tank. They look at who is in charge of the state and the country, and they vote based on their immediate financial frustration. Republican strategists are absolutely capitalizing on this, tying the high prices to the current administration's energy policies. It really highlights the limits of state-level interventions. Governor Whitmer pulling the lever on fuel blends is practically the only tool she has available, but it's fundamentally inadequate against a major geopolitical shock. It will be very telling to see if voters in District 35 view the energy emergency declaration as a proactive measure, or if they just vote their wallets.
Exactly. And this special election isn't happening in a vacuum. It's a bellwether for the upcoming statewide races. If a $1 spike in gas over a week is enough to flip a swing district, both parties are going to have to heavily recalibrate their messaging on the economy and energy independence.
Moving
Moving on to our next deep dive, we're looking at a growing controversy right here in downtown Grand Rapids regarding infrastructure, urban planning, and your wallet. As the massive new Acrisure Amphitheater gets ready to open its doors this month, the debate over downtown event parking is reaching a boiling point.
It really is. The Acrisure Amphitheater is a 12,000-seat venue, which is fantastic for the city's entertainment scene. But here is the catch. It was built with only 340 attached parking spaces. A recent viral post on the Grand Rapids subreddit called out what they described as the hubris of the city and the private development group, Grand Action 2.0, for building massive civic venues with virtually no attached parking.
The frustration is totally understandable, especially when you look at the immediate side effects. That same Reddit post highlighted a private lot just north of the amphitheater charging a $60 event parking rate for Grand Valley State University's graduation at the nearby arena. People are asking, if private lots are price gouging for a college graduation, what are they going to charge when a major national touring act comes to the amphitheater?
City officials have pushed back on the narrative that there is a parking shortage. They point out that there are approximately 8,863 public parking spaces within a half-mile radius of the amphitheater. In fact, their estimates suggest that even on completely sold-out nights, about 800 of those spaces will remain available across the downtown grid. But that relies on a very specific urban planning philosophy. The city's strategy is intentionally designed around a balanced transportation network. They are actively trying to discourage car dependency to reduce climate risk. They want people to park further away and walk or utilize public transit, rather than building massive concrete parking garages that sit empty 300 days a year. Which makes sense on paper from an urban design perspective, but the reality on the ground is that West Michigan is still heavily car dependent. When you have a family driving in from the suburbs, a half-mile walk late at night isn't always appealing. And our public transit system, while good, isn't currently scaled to move 12,000 people out of downtown at 11 p.m. efficiently.
And that friction is what allows these private lot owners to charge $60. The city has explicitly stated that they do not control pricing for private parking lots. Those operate entirely independently of city-owned facilities. So the city can't just step in and cap the rates to prevent price gouging.
Exactly. And this is just the beginning. Don't forget, Grand Action 2.0 is also spearheading the future 8,500-seat soccer stadium downtown. If the city's infrastructure isn't seamlessly integrated, and if public transit doesn't see a massive upgrade to handle these event surges, the frustration over $60 parking spots is only going to multiply.
It's a classic growing pain for a mid-sized city trying to transition into a major regional hub. The venues are world-class, but the behavioral shift required from the public to park far away and walk or take the bus is a massive hurdle. It will be very interesting to see the actual logistics play out during the amphitheater's first sold-out weekend.
We'll definitely be keeping an eye on how that parking situation shakes out once the first big concerts hit. But for now, let's pivot and hit a few more stories making headlines around West Michigan.
First up, a debate over surveillance is brewing as flock safety cameras become more common across Grand Rapids and Kent County. These automated license plate readers use machine learning to capture vehicle makes, models, and unique traits like bumper stickers, which the company calls vehicle fingerprint technology.
Privacy advocates are raising alarms, especially after national reports that federal agencies like ICE have accessed local flock data in other cities. However, Grand Rapids Police Chief Eric Winstrom has publicly denied that the department uses its system for any immigration-related investigations.
A. Down in Kalamazoo, the popular farmers market officially opened its 2026 season on May 2nd, but with a major change behind the scenes. The Gam Show Group, which owns local grocery stores like Park Street Market, has taken over management after winning a three-year contract from the city. They replaced the People's Food Co-op, which managed the market for 13 years, but recently faced significant internal turmoil, including the firing of its general manager. Under the new agreement, the Gam Show Group will pay 15% of the market's gross annual revenue back to the city.
In lighter news, Grand Rapids Public Schools hosted a massive unified prom event this past Saturday at the Amway Grand Plaza Hotel in downtown Grand Rapids.
The event featured a Great Gatsby theme and brought together students from across the district for a combined celebration. It's a huge logistical undertaking, but a really great way to foster community among different schools as they close out the academic year.
Finally, a bit of local history to wrap things up. Did you know that the man once known as the Dean of American Church Music was born right here in Grand Rapids? I didn't until today. Leo Sowerby was born here in 1895 and actually won the 1946 Pulitzer Prize for Music for his cantata, The Canticle of the Sun. Despite composing over 500 works, his name largely faded into obscurity as musical tastes shifted, but he remains a fascinating piece of West Michigan's arts heritage. That is going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily.
Thanks for starting your morning with us. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an update on what's happening around West Michigan.
Stay warm out there today, and we will catch you back here tomorrow.